We've been talking a bit about, obviously it was Easter last week, and we had Jordan Smith shared, and we had a great weekend with the youth over Easter Alive, and just God is moving. And you know, one of the things I was just reminded of, someone said to me, because Philippa and I went to all of the night sessions for the youth over the weekend, and just to support what's going on and to add our weight if we can, where we can. And someone said to me, "Oh man, how do you, you know, why do you get involved with all that stuff as well as everything else you're going?" And I just, in my heart, I had this moment, and it was just because I don't want to miss out. I guess I have a bit of FOMO. Because, you know, one of the things in my journey has been, for a long time, I've been praying, "God, move, do stuff that only you can do. We need to see miracles. We need to see your hand doing." You know, I'm not satisfied with just reading about in scripture or reading about some of church history and the things that God did in times gone by. I want to see those things happen now, because God is the same God today as he was yesterday, and the same God of the Bible he is today. And so, you know, I've been praying for that. I've given, you know, my wife and I have given our lives in literally in service of the church and in service of the kingdom of God. And so there's this thing in me that goes, when God chooses to move, and I don't know when he does, I don't want to miss out on that because I've been waiting for it for so flipping long. And I've given myself for it, right? And so when there's moments like this, and I'll say tomorrow night and with Danny G, I'll say Danny G because it's easier than Danny Gugliamucci. In Wellington, I'm like, you know, and I just want to encourage us, get out to things, because you never know what God can do in those spaces if you're open to it. And if we're pursuing God in our relationship with him, then I just want to say getting into places and spaces where he's moving is actually really important for us. So if you can make the time, I encourage you to do so. Because what would be the worst thing for me is if God does something spectacular and you're not in the room. Right? And there's nothing worse than hearing someone else's testimony about what God did, and you go, "Flip, I was watching Married at First Sight." Oh, why would you want to watch it? That's exactly the point, Tony. And so I want to talk this morning about the fact that Jesus is real and Jesus is near. So we're going to, because the thing for me is you just don't know. You just don't know what God's going to do and when he's going to do it. We all believe he can and he's able, right? You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe that. You know, that God can and God is able. And so we're going to go to Matthew 4:12-17. And this is a story right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. So I'll just read the story, shall I? And so it says here, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, I've got a clicker here and I need to use it. Sorry, David, I'm a bit behind here. Is it working? Oh, look. That's the title of my message this morning, Repent or Change Your Mind. Just sort of giving you a bit of a hint. I'm going to skip past that. Oh, there it is, back there. It's the one verse I'm going to read a whole bunch more, but that's the key one. Matthew 4:12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. So it was a moment where, this is the moment where Jesus left home. All right, young people, one day you'll get to leave home. Please note, Jesus never went back. Sorry, he did go back to visit. He didn't go back to stay ever in Nazareth again. In fact, when he went back, he couldn't do anything there because of the lack of faith in the space. So if you want to pursue God, then leave home and stay away. Because sometimes, I'm just joking. Oh, that's it. There are times where sometimes, and I would say my experience is sometimes people who are too familiar with you hold you in a box and don't let you become all that God's called you to be. And leaving home is super important. Because in that moment, you find faith for yourself and you learn what God is for you outside of your parents' influence. And that's a significant part. And Jesus did it here. He left home. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. He was by Lake Galilee. So he left a village out in the middle of nowhere, and he went and lived by the lake. That sounds like a good move. And then it goes on and it says, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So that's the verse I want to land on. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the title, as I said before, the title of my message is repent or change your mind. See, for most of us, if you've been brought up in a Christian circles and probably had some sort of traditional upbringing of faith, maybe if you're new in Christian faith, then this may not apply to you, but there's still this echo in Christian church. When the word repent comes up, it's always related to sin. So repent is something where you are sorry for something and you turn your back on one particular behavior and do something else. That's what repent means in terms of the word itself. If you look it up in a dictionary, that's what it means. It means showing sorrow or remorse for some sort of action or something that you've done wrong and deciding not to do it anymore. The interesting thing is that in the Greek, which this particular passage, its original language was Greek, it is not that meaning. The Greek word is metanoia, or some form of that word, metanoia in Greek. And that word actually means, if you want to take a literal translation, metaphor means beyond or above, and noia or noios is your mind or your thinking. So the idea that you can go beyond where you currently stand in your thinking. You can go above where you are in your thinking at the moment. Or one translation would be change your mind. So it actually, when Jesus said repent, what the invitation was in the language, original language he was using was, how about you change your thinking because the kingdom of heaven is near? So there was this invitation that Jesus was putting out there. He wasn't saying repent from your sin. He was saying change your thinking, because if you're to engage with the kingdom of God that is near, you have to think differently to what you're thinking at the moment. And so there's this invitation here for us. So you can choose. If you want to live your life as a Christian full of repentance, fantastic. But let me tell you, all that ever does to you is it makes you feel guilty and condemned, because all you're ever focused on is your sin and how you need to get rid of it out of your life. That doesn't shift you into the kingdom of heaven. All that does is leave you conscious of all the areas you fall short in. Jesus' invitation was not for us to stay where we are and be conscious of all the things we fall short in. His invitation was to a whole new world called the kingdom of near, or the kingdom of heaven. I call it an idea. This is my one. It's called the near kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's near to you right now. In fact, in another passage, Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. That's pretty near. In fact, I'm not sure you can get much nearer. But the near kingdom, there's an invitation from God to change your mind so that you can access a kingdom that is within you, that is near. And that is the challenge of discipleship, of transformation. We've been talking about this year, that our goal and the thing we celebrate as a church is seeing transformation taking place in people's lives. Transformation is the idea of discipleship, of change. Really what Jesus is inviting you to when he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, is make your life a life of change. Oh, some of you right now are going, oh, change, that sounds really uncomfortable. And it's true, change is uncomfortable. Jesus invites us, though, to change our minds so that we can align with the kingdom of heaven, so we can experience all that he wants us to experience. That's what the invitation is. And what I find really interesting is three out of the four Gospels make this statement, the first statement that Jesus makes in their Gospels is repent or change your mind, metanoia, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God, in one of the Gospels it's called, is near. Which makes me go, if that was three out of the four are saying that, that means it was probably a high priority for Jesus. Because they've had time, the writers have had time, this is quite a while after Jesus lived when they wrote these things down. They've had time to reflect on his life and reflect on his teachings and discuss it. And these are the things that they chose to put in first. Obviously, they understood that there was something incredible about this. You know, it's interesting that if you read Forbes magazine and their stats and the surveys they've got online, they say that only 38% of you like change. Only 38% of humans like change, or like to get out of the comfort zone that we currently live in, or like to take our thinking and expand it beyond where we currently are. Only 38%. So out of this room, let's take it out. There's 4 out of 10 of us like that idea. 60% of us, it freaks us out. Or to some degree, we don't want to do it. That means the majority of people in this room, to you, change is a challenge. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why Jesus calls it, that's why Jesus puts it out as an invitation. Because for all of us, we have differing capacities and differing openness to change and to transformation in our lives. And God never forces us to change. It's always a beckoning. It's always an invitation. It's always an opportunity to come. If you read in Revelation, the last few chapters, the invitation is come from the Spirit and the Bride, is come. It's always a come. It's always an invitation to experience the near kingdom. He's never going to force you to do it. For us as a church, we focus a lot on love. And that for us to live full lives in the kingdom of heaven, we need to be people of love. That love is something that flows out of us because God is love. And it's interesting, I read this quote this week from John Henry Cardinal Newham. What a great name. John, I love it. So I'm going to start calling myself Lawrence Paul Tando Kirby. Love it. Gee, put some more. I could add some more names in there actually. What are some names I really like? I know, sorry, it's getting off topic. But John Henry Cardinal Newham says, to love is to change, and to love perfectly is to change many times. For us, if we want to be people who love God, love people, we've got to be willing to change. And the invitation is, if we want to experience the fullness of the near kingdom, then we need to change and take up that invitation. So I want to give you some thoughts out of the story of Zacchaeus. How many of you have heard of Zacchaeus? He was a short man, apparently. I don't know what that means in terms of height levels, because if I stand with my brothers, I feel like the short man. But The only description is that he was short enough that he couldn't see through the crowd to see Jesus. Has anyone ever been to a concert or a crowd of people and you can't see squat? Yeah. It's the reason why they make the music so loud at concerts, by the way, is that so short people can still hear it. I'm joking, but it's... But if you're shorter, like my wife is shorter, and one of the things that she says, she's shorter than me. You get what I mean when I say that. I'm not saying she's short. She's shorter than me. One of the things that my wife really struggles with at times is being able to see, whereas I don't have so much of a problem with that. Generally in concerts or other things in crowds, I can see quite clearly, and often I can see other people who are a similar height to me. And so when I've got my family around, we can see each other across the top of the crowd generally because they're taller than me and stuff. And so I get the story of Zacchaeus, but we're going to read it, and it's not to do with his shortness. But here we go. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read it through, shall we? Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And then when Jesus came by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. He looked up at him and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. How often does that happen? Jesus shows up to someone and we're jealous because we missed out. Sorry, we keep going with the story. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. That's the worst one, is when we feel jealous because they are worse. They're not as good a person as me, and yet God visited them. Oh. They grumbled. None of us have any problems with that, do we? Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood far out. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." I'm not sure if you've worked out the maths on that, but that's a hang of a lot of stuff. And Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for the man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." My first thing I want to say in this, and what I've done is the acronym here, that will maybe help you with remembering this, is that for us to change our mind to access the near kingdom, we first need to notice. We first need to notice the areas that we need to change in. Does that make sense? So I'm going to use an acronym of NEAR to help us with some tools here to help with this process. The first thing in changing your mind is you need to notice that there's an area that you need to change in. Now, how does that happen? Well, there's a multitude of different ways that you can notice areas that you need to change in. We've talked about some of these before. The obvious ones are in your times with God. The Holy Spirit can talk to you. You can be reading the Bible, you can be praying, you can be, as Glenn talked about this morning in prayer meeting, you can be walking along the beach and God can speak to you. There are times when you can be driving the car and someone cuts you off in traffic and your response tells you that there's something you need to change. There can be a myriad of different ways that you can become aware of an area that you need to change in and maybe change your thinking about. The key for me in terms of changing our thinking and changing our mind or being renewed in our mind and that whole process of discipleship is first you've got to notice that you need to change. And generally one thing is enough. I think most of us would probably say we've got multiple things on the go that we're working on changing. But it first starts with that area of notice. For Zacchaeus, he noticed something about Jesus that he wanted to see. And so he did his darndest to see this Jesus fella. Because he knew there was something about Jesus that was different to him. And he noticed and wanted to pay attention and he wanted to experience that thing because he'd heard stories. And then Jesus invites him and invites him down to the tree and says, I'm going to come and eat at your place. And Zacchaeus is fully excited. And something in that process, I notice in the story, it doesn't say anything about what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. It doesn't say anything about what they talked about over their meal. It says nothing about what went on in that process. All it goes is Jesus is coming to my place for dinner. So they headed off to have that meal. And then the next thing is Zacchaeus has noticed that he's different and there's something that I need to address. There's an area I need to change. And it's moved him very quickly onto the second one, which was he's engaged. He's not just noticed, he's then gone, okay, I need to think about that particular thing that I've noticed and I need to engage with that. I need to go, that is a real issue. I need to think about it and I need to engage with that issue. I need to allow that thing to not just be something I notice, but it's something that I'm engaging with. I found this week, here's an example. We're talking about Zacchaeus, but I want to give an example from my life. I was sitting in a seminar this week. It was a parenting seminar, and they showed which our team out of Kapiti Impact Trust was running in Raumati South for parents in our community, and I got the privilege of being able to go along and just support and champion it. And as I was sitting there, they showed a video clip out of YouTube, and it was a TED talk, and this woman was standing on the stage in the red dot, as you do when you're doing a TED talk. I wish we could probably do a red dot down here, except then I'd have to keep it short. That might be challenging. Anyway, sidetrack. And they played this bit, and she was talking about parents and talking about the experiences that we have as parents and how that influences how we parent our kids. One of the first things as parents is you need to notice how you parent your kids and where that's come from. So you need to not just leave it if there's an area where you're struggling as a parent, but you actually need to notice and then you need to engage with it and learn some stuff and get yourself educated. I could have put another E in for that, engage, educate yourself. Learn about the areas, that area of change and how I need to change. Anyway, we're watching this video and it got to a bit about how if as a child, how you experienced and how you were taught by your parents to engage with your big emotions. So as a kid, one of the things you'll notice, and probably some adults we probably still struggle with this as well, but as a kid, you get big emotions sometimes. You know, I know with my girls as they were growing up, there were moments where they had massive emotions, which, you know, a five-year-old comes home storming angry because someone's done something. And how you as a parent engage with those emotions actually influences those children and how they learn to manage their emotions as they get older. If you don't, if you make errors in that area, which I would say I did when I was parenting some of my girls growing up, and if I'm honest, it was because of how I was parented. I also parented the same because I didn't know any better. You know, that's just what happens with generational cycles. That's why this is so important today about changing our mind, because if we're to break cycles, we actually have to notice the areas where we're just continuing on in a pattern. We have to learn about it, we have to engage with it, and then we have to act on it. That's my next one. I've given you a heads up on A. Engage. But anyway, in this situation, and they put these three things up about these are responses that often happen in kids. as a result of what you do as parents around their big emotions. And the first one was repression. Was that kids learn to repress their emotions. And you know, as I was listening to this video and they went into this thing of repression, I started all of a sudden, my eyes, whoop, tears. And if you know anything about me, I'm relatively emotional. I would consider myself relatively expressive of my emotions. But I'm sitting there and I'm listening, and she just puts the word repression up, and for me, it activated something. I noticed that I had a reaction in this moment, and God was speaking to me. And I then have to go, and I haven't done this fully yet, is engaging with that. What does that actually mean? Where did that come from? Why did I react like that? I need to learn a bit more about repression of feelings, and I need to invite Holy Spirit into that, because I've got to engage with that, because I've now noticed that that's something that has triggered me. Right? I'm not just going to leave that, because that's actually big. Because God revealed through something completely random, I'm sitting in a public meeting watching a flipping video in the front row, and I'm crying. Fortunately, I had tissues in my pocket. But that's what happens in life. And you can choose to engage with that, or you can choose to ignore it. And this is where this whole thing of us, you know, 60% of us don't like change. Because the moment you acknowledge and notice and then engage, you have to be willing to change. Which is the next point for me is this thing is I've now got to act. I'm doing some engaging with that. I've had to think about it. I've spent some time going, I don't specifically remember any moment when I had a bad situation that's caused me to repress emotions. In fact, I would consider myself to be a pretty expressive person with emotions as far as guys go. But there's obviously something deeper that's still going on in my life that I need to address. So I'm still in that process of engagement. I haven't got to this point yet where I need to act on something. See, for all of us in a process of changing your mind, you can think about stuff for as long as you want, but if you never then result in a change of behavior, then all you've done is address a belief system and you haven't actually created behavioral change, which is what people around you see. And that is the evidence of the near kingdom is when action changes. Right? So the evidence in Zacchaeus's life, what was the evidence? He gave away half of his wealth, and then to anyone he had stolen off, he gave them four times. I tried to do the maths on how much money he would have left. He had obviously been a great investor of the money that he had stolen and got, because he multiplied it enough to be able to give back four times what he stole, and he still had money to support his household. And yet his action changed. And as a result of that action, what does Jesus say? Salvation. The kingdom, the near kingdom has visited this household today. Because there's been a change of thinking that's taken place in Zacchaeus' life that has resulted in him acting on it. See, for all of us, if you want to change your mind, first you've got to notice, then you've got to engage, then you've got to act on what you've engaged with. Because if you're to change your thinking, you actually have to change not just the way you think, you also have to go, my actions have to change as a result of this. Part of the problem of the witness of the church in the world today is because a lot of believers have never taken their thought processes to change their actions. They've never engaged with what they've noticed about the kingdom of heaven. They've never been willing to change their thinking to align with the kingdom of heaven, and so their behavior is no different from the world. I'll stop there. My last one, near. See, it's okay to act on something once. But if you're really going to change, you then have to change and reinforce that change. You have to keep coming back. and keep coming back and going, how am I going with that? How am I going with that? How am I going with that? Let's keep going with this. Let's keep going with this. You see, for me, there's a lot of areas that I've had to change in, and I've noticed, and I've engaged, and I've acted, and then given enough time, I'll notice that, oh, bad habits die hard. Has anyone heard that statement? I'll have been going really well for a period of time, and then there's a moment when I go, oh, there it is again. I noticed it's come back. I've got to reinforce and go back to the beginning and dig a bit deeper, because obviously that is still a behavior that, or something that I haven't fully changed or been transformed in. And so I've got to come back and refresh and reinforce. For all of us, if we're to experience the near kingdom, we must continue that process. As you follow Jesus, make sure you're noticing stuff. When God speaks to you, don't just let that sit. Take notice of it. Write it down. If you have to, put it on a post-it note and stick it on the mirror in your bathroom. Notice it. God's challenging me in this. Then engage. When I say engage, I mean actually think about it. Allow God into that a bit deeper. Read some books. Do some research. Talk to some other people about that particular area. Learn something. Educate yourself. Like for me, if I'm going to take that moment of repression of emotion and how that affects me, I need to learn a bit about that. What are some of the things that may have caused that when I was younger? There's plenty of stuff out there. If you want to Google it, you can read it. You can learn something, and it may expose something to you that enables you to act more wisely in your response. But let's be people that don't just, as James puts, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it also. Because the invitation from Jesus is, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And to access the near kingdom, let's notice, let's engage, let's act, and let's reinforce. Let's pray. God, thank you that you don't want us to stay the same. You love us too much for us not to experience the fullness of life that you have for us. And so I ask this morning that you would continue to lead us in this way towards accessing more and more of your kingdom, allowing that to become a reality in the way that we live and how we engage with this world. God, help us to change our mind. Help us to be willing to take the risk, to step outside of our comfort zone, to allow you to lead us into life everlasting, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.